for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Thursday afternoon ladies 1:15 p.m. deliverance and teaching meeting. Joey McGee is the speaker of the afternoon teaching on Spirit of Stupor.
Well, today I want to share on a spirit of stupor. Yeah, I think a spirit of stupor is kind of like, have you ever seen a bird that flew into a plate glass window? They're just kind of dazed. And it's the spirit that God sends on us because of not being a disciple, because of idolatry, of the idolatry of our forefathers. And most of us have had that spirit. In fact, I was doing a word study when the Lord showed me that I had the spirit in me. I told my precious son, now that we're not on TV, I told my precious son, I said, son, you got that same spirit. You need to be at my seminar because I'm going to teach on that. Anyway, I think it runs in our family to be preoccupied or stoic or sometimes, I mean, I'm getting more, what's the word? A lady told me years ago when I started going to her prophetic meetings, God tells me something really strange about you. He said, you're a teacher. And he said, she said, he's going to make your heart softer and your hide tougher. And I see him softening all of our hearts because a hard heart, even is one of the hardness of heart, is even one of the roots to eye problems. And so, Lord, in fact, we all have heart problems. That's the problem for everything. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I come before your throne and we present our bodies to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice. I ask you to breathe life into this word. I ask you, Father, to let my words be like goads, like well-driven nails given by you, the shepherd. Father, in the name of Jesus, let my words be like apples of gold and settings of silver to listening ears. And, Father, I want ears to hear. We all want ears to hear. Lord, we've got ears, but we don't hear you very good. Lord, I don't hear you very good. I want to hear you, Lord. Lord, you said your sheep hear your voice and they obey you and they won't follow the voice of a stranger. So I bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus is Lord. I bind principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. Bind you, Satan, on earth, and I declare you're bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. I command you to loose us, loose our minds, loose our understanding. I break the power of every lie. I break the power of stopped up ears in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask you, put your hands on your ears. Give me ears to hear, Lord. I ask you to unstop my ears, dig out, excavate, and irrigate my ears. Lord, you said, blessed are you, the disciples because they have eyes to see and ears to hear in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, today I ask you to breathe your life in this word. I ask that this be a life-changing word, Lord. Otherwise, we've wasted our time to even sit here. And God, in Jesus' name, I want my life changed even as I share. And Father, I ask that I be a conduit that you download with whatever you want, Lord. It's you. It's about you and not me. In Jesus' name. The more we go on with the Lord, the less it's going to be about me and you. It's going to be about Jesus and his plan, his program, and his agenda. Okay, a spirit of stupor, it's an evil spirit, and then it has many other spirits attached to it. And I believe it's been in all of us in varying degrees. I know it's been in my whole, it's been in my bloodline. In fact, I sent it to my sisters, and I don't think they ever listened to the message because I thought, I see that in them too. And I certainly saw it in myself when I was doing word studies. Most of it, I believe, comes down on us generationally. I believe we're born with it. And I want us to start by going to Romans chapter 11, verse 8, and this was the scripture that God used to show me that I had a spirit of stupor, because I forget, when I was looking at eye scriptures, I saw something else about this scripture because, I'll share it with you. But God gives people who refuse to walk in His Word and in His holiness, He gives us over to it. And the sins of the fathers are passed on to the children to the third and fourth generation. Let's go to Romans 11. Bless you, Lord. Lord, we pray for, we thank you so much for Mindy, and we thank you for that boy, and thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us, and you're teaching Mindy, and Lord, we praise you for that. Okay, Romans chapter 11, and I hope this is not scribbled out where I can read it, so I have a Bible I read out of and a Bible I teach out of, and it's about time to change Bibles, but all my notes are in this Bible. So, praise the Lord. Okay, in chapter 11, verse 8, it says, just as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that see not, ears that hear not, down to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap. And when I was doing the word study on eyes, I saw, let their table be a snare and a trap. And I looked it up, and it means your food table. And I thought, you know, my food table, my whole life has been a snare and a trap to me. And I was doing this for eye problems because I had been diagnosed as having something wrong with my eyes, and I can give God the glory. I'm wearing the same glasses I wore 6 years ago, and this diagnosis was 4 years ago. So I just praise the Lord for what He's doing, and that He's in charge of my eyes. It says, let their table, their food table, become a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a retribution to them. And that's what I've experienced my whole life about food. Let their eyes be darkened to see not. There's a spirit of darkness that comes in. In Matthew 6, it says, if your eye is clear, your whole body is full of light. And if your eye is bad, which means adulterous, idolatrous, then your whole body is full of darkness. And there's a spirit of darkness that keeps you. And in my case, it's probably 50% better. But 4 years ago, I could be in a restaurant with my glasses, and if it was a dim, dark place, I couldn't read the menu with my glasses. And it's still that way when it's real dark in a restaurant, but it's 50% better. Night blindness is when you can be on the freeway and you can't see at night. And I can praise God that now I can drive at night on the freeway and read the signs with my glasses, and I couldn't do that 4 years ago. And they're still not healed, and I'm not stopping to look. I mean, I'm still looking for answers to my eyes. It says, let their eyes be darkened to see not. I've done word studies on darkness, word studies on light. I remember once I was in a hotel when all this started. And I was teaching in Rockwall or Round Rock, but in the process of having time in the hotel, I took my computer, pulled up all the scriptures on light, because I thought, I have a problem seeing in dark places. And so I started just repenting over the scriptures on light, breaking generational curses. And within an hour, I could see better than I could when I started. I thought, you know what? I'm on the right track here. Because He sent His word to heal me. And so the Bible talks about good news, bright eyes. What is that scripture on your eyes being bright? You know, Moses, they said Moses was 120 years old, his strength was not abated, nor was his eye dim. So it says, let their eyes be darkened and bend their backs forever. So you see, there's also back problems. I didn't have back problems, but I had those other things. And so that was the scripture that God began to show me that I had a spirit of stupor. And the word stupor means stupefaction. King James says slumber. Isaiah 29 says a spirit of sleep. the symptoms in varying degrees. You don't have to have all of these, but when, as I name the symptoms, I want you to repent if that applies to you. In other words, because I'm probably I'm not going to lead you in repentance on all of those, so you do it as I say. The symptoms of a spirit of stupor. Stupor means stupefaction, a physical state in which responses to stimuli are suspended. King James says slumber, which is a prickling sensation as of the limbs going to sleep. You know, if your legs ever go to sleep, your feet go to sleep, your arms go to sleep. And so it's used to, I could sit in my chair at home. I always prop my feet up in another chair, and my legs would go to sleep, and they don't do that anymore since I had this spirit cast out of me. It means a prickling sensation as of the limbs asleep. That is by implying perhaps by some confusion. What does that mean? Stupefaction. It also means lethargy. It means drowsiness and sleepiness. It means a slumbering spirit, which is a state of inactivity or dormancy. It means to fall asleep. The prickling sensation as of the limbs asleep, limbs that fall asleep. Lethargy means everything. These are symptoms of lethargy. What I did was to take the word stupor, and then it would say it means this, 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 and I'd look up those definitions, and it means this, this, this. But lethargy means a lack of energy, indolence, which is a habitual laziness, sloth, the quality or state of being lazy, idleness. It means slothfulness, which is aversion to work or exertion, laziness, indolence, disinclined to work or exertion. It means sluggishness and inactivity. It means torpid, which means sluggish, suggests the suspension of activity, characteristics of an animal in hibernation, you know, a sluggard. Or a sloth sleeps upside down, hangs on a limb and sleeps upside down. It means a decrease in physical alertness and mental activity. It means mental numbness, which means your mind is deprived of the power to feel or move normally. And then a stupor means eyes that see not, which is physical and spiritual eyes. Your physical eyes and your spiritual eyes are tied together. You know, if eye problems run in your family, you know it's a generational curse. Ears that hear not has to do with physical and spiritual ear problems. And, you know, ear problems come in one of the ways it comes in is through not listening to God. But if you are a person that don't listen to God, that tells me you didn't listen to your mother and daddy either. It can be one of the roots to back problems. The major root to back problems is backsliding, backstabbing, turning your back on God. People who have this spirit are not good listeners. Yeah, I know people in my life that I can say something to and tell them something, and then a week later or a month later, by the way they respond to me, they didn't even hear what I said. And if we're going to be good counselors, we have to be good listeners. We have to listen to what other people pray, what we're coming in agreement with. We need to listen to what they're saying, because what they're saying is coming out of their heart. Stupor means to lose one's bearings and to live in a state of bewilderment, to be confused or lose one's bearings, to be disoriented. It means to be perplexed and puzzled. It means to be distracted. To cause to turn away from the original focus of attention or interest, to divert. It means to pull in conflicting emotional directions, unsettle. Another way a spirit of stupor can come in is through having controlling parents. The way you cope with the control is just to check out emotionally. It means to be disoriented or disorganized. It means apathy. feeling or showing a lack of interest or concern, indifferent, feeling or showing little or no emotion, unresponsive. There was a time in my life if the President of the United States was in my front yard, and that would be Republican or Democrat, I could care less. And that's the spirit of stupor. Just kind of being indifferent. It's like not really caring. And if we all really cared, we'd be praying more. I know I would. It means a coma, which is a state of deep, often prolonged unconsciousness, usually the result of injury, disease, or poison, in which an individual is incapable of sensing or responding to external stimuli and internal needs. It means muscular rigidity. Have you ever hug somebody and maybe you're that person and they were stiff as a board? You can just feel it. It also means to have physical and psychological disorders, epilepsy. You know, a person that has an epileptic seizure, it's like a demon takes them over. They check out and the demon checks in. The other day there's a girl that used to attend, well, she does attend, but her brother, some witches cursed him while she went to Henry Wright, because when she was home, she was praying protection over her home and over her brother who was half-stepping. And there was great witchcraft. Her mother would have all these false Catholic gods in her front yard. And there was lots of witchcraft. Her mother, daddy, her daddy's girlfriend, all of them were into witchcraft, cursing others, doing all kinds of stuff. So she went to some of these meetings that we've been talking about where there's false teaching and picked up a Kundalini spirit. And she's been trying to get that demon out for 3 years. But you see, if God got that demon out immediately, she wouldn't have gotten all those other things right in her life. She still has a whole lot of things to deal with. But anyway, she went to Henry Wright's, and when she came back, her brother had been, they had shot a heart attack or something on him to where he was just unconscious. They said he would never come back. And so she's been doing what she knows to do about all the generational stuff that's been in both of their lives. And when he was first put in the hospital, he was totally unresponsive. And in dealing with people that have been satanically ritually abused, sometimes a demon will speak through them and take them over. And they're way back in the distance. They can hear you say, I bind that spirit and I call back, come back, Doris or whoever was born to that body. I bind the spirits that are taking Doris over. I loose holy angels to go get her and bring her back. And so I told her, I said, start binding the demons that have taken him over and start calling him back. And he can now repeat what she says. And she's doing warfare, and another friend and I have been discussing how it's amazing how she forgot her Kundalini spirit because she's trying to help her brother. She's not even mentioned anything wrong with her because she's in the process. And this girl knows more about a Kundalini spirit than I do because she's so hungry. This particular problem, she has researched it to try to get free, and she'll do, you can say, do 49 word studies and she'll do them. I mean, and God has just changed her. But see, God is training her to help people, because in these days in the church, people are loaded down with Kundalini spirits. And so I'm just going to send people to her whenever they need freedom. But she is being trained right now through ministering to her brother, and he's getting better. Praise the Lord. He still can't walk. And so, Lord, we ask that you can cause Eddie to walk in Jesus' name. We say, Eddie, walk in the name of Jesus. And so I know another young man that was having had, in fact, I don't know if he's, well, he's on medication now. But he came here to Lake Hamilton, and I asked him, I said, have you ever looked at pornography? And he said, yes. And so we led him in repentance, and supposedly he repented. For a whole year, he did not have another seizure because, see, he was taken over because pornography is made by Satanists. They curse it and they hook, and can suck you into every sewer of the world just through looking at pornography. Jesus said if you look with somebody with lust in your eyes, you've committed adultery. And that adultery bonds you to a soul tie, and through a soul tie you can get the addictions, the demons, the sickness of whoever you have a soul tie with. And so this young man, for a whole year, he didn't have another seizure. Then he started having seizures again. Now, his parents don't know what he's been into, and, of course, I certainly wouldn't tell him, and I wouldn't mention his name anyway, so y'all wouldn't know. But they wanted me to talk to him. I said, did you get back into your pornography? He said, yes. You see, it's almost like through their witchcraft, they can cause your soul to fly through the air like a bird. And that's the ground. And the young man got mad at me, and the seizures got so bad that the parents took the young man. They've taken him, and he's taken seizure medicine. Well, that's not getting to the root of the problem, is it? It's putting a Band-Aid over his spiritual problem. And he'll be taking that the rest of his life if he don't deal with his sin. And so that's just some things that can cause seizures. But it's when your body becomes a shell that the demon uses, and you, your soul flies out. And when you ministering to somebody like that and you say, and I call back Doris and I declare you, to you, you're not going to use his body or her body. I had a girl who'd come out of Satanism. She said, when you call me, I can hear you. And so when people are in a coma, they can hear. Schizophrenia, which means a mild case, is a double-minded person, which is two kingdoms. But a person can have multiple personalities. They can have more than two souls, especially if they've been ritualized. And I'm ministering to a man now that's coming out of the bloodline of an Illuminati, which is the highest up satanic organization in the world. And he's in the bloodline of the House of Rothschild. And his last name is one of the names that if you read on the history of the Illuminati, you would hear his bloodline name in the history of the Illuminati. And he just has these memory lapses where he just blacks out. So that tells me that he has got multiple personalities coming down generationally. And if you've had forefathers that were in the occult, then you can be a multiple. And really, it's just demonic is all it is. Something else takes you over. The world in psychology says that you've got people in people. No, it's demons in people. And I've had so many people that are teaching psychology that are ministering to satanic ritual abuse get mad at me because I said they're just demons. Okay, stupor means a sleep-like state, heightened suggestibility, hallucinations, which is false or distorted perception of objects or events, with a compelling sense of their reality, a false or mistaken idea or delusion, all kinds of mental disorders. You know, one of the curses in Deuteronomy is if you're disobedient to the voice of God and His commandments, then He causes you to be scattered among all the nations of the earth. Now, that's what the Word of God says. But in psychology, they call it multiple personality disorder, and now they've changed the name to dissociative identity disorder. It's like switching channels on a TV. A mild form of multiple personality, and I've heard Joyce Meyer say this, is that you go to the church and you kick the cat, you slap the kid, you scream and holler at your husband, there's a big dog fight going to church, and the minute you get in the church parking lot, it's, hi, glory to God, how are you doing? You see, that's putting on a fake mask. Now, that's a mild form of it, and we've all been guilty of that at one time or another in our life. Hopefully we're not doing that anymore. Delusions, which is a false belief or opinion, a false belief strongly held in spite of invalidating evidence, especially as a symptom of mental illness. It means visions of grandeur, having fantastic, impracticable plans or desires. It means to daydream. A dreamlike musing or fantasy while awake, especially of the fulfillment of wishes or hopes. A fanciful and extravagant plan or desire. Fantasizing is to create imagination, unrestrained fancy. And it takes fantasy for people to masturbate. You have to get in your mind a vision or a picture. Since we're with, no, I'm not going to say this because this is on tape. That was not one of my problems, okay? I will say that. But a lot of these others were. Flight of fancy, the mental faculty through which whims, visions, and fantasies are summoned up. Imagination, especially of a whimsical or fantastic nature, an image or a fantastic invention created by the mind. Make-believe, playful or fanciful, pretending, pretense, feigning, play-acting, masquerade, charade. You know, kids have imaginary playmates. Now, that was number one for me. I mean, you're going to hear the truth whether you like it or not. I mean, I'm not going to make believe what you see is what you get. But there are people that live in fantasy and they make believe, and little children can actually get imaginary playmates, which is their demons. People that have been in the occult can have imaginary friends. I remember years ago when I was ministering to a girl who came out of Satanism. She had whole neighborhoods of friends. There were gangs of friends, and there were just demons that she thought protected her. She'd have a whole neighborhood. She'd have a whole crowd. I mean, on many different occasions, I cast out many different groups of her imaginary protectors. And, of course, in the cult, the demons will tell you that if you do certain things, then life's going to be different or life's going to be better. One thing they'll say in a ritual, if a person's in pain, they'll say, the demon will say, just let me use your body and you won't feel this pain. So the demon takes them over. It means to disguise, unable to comprehend. Means to deprive or perception or insight. Pretense, the act of pretending, a false appearance or action intended to deceive. Something imagined or pretended, an outward appearance meaning to deceive. Disguise, camouflage, cover up, blind or a false front. A display of insincere behavior. You know, the Bible says liars go to hell. And, you know, sometimes when you tell people the truth, it's interpreted the wrong way. But you know what? As ministers of the gospel, if we don't tell people the truth, we're really not helping them. We're just tickling their ears. And so the Lord wants us to speak truth, hide the truth in our heart, love truth, to be lovers of truth. I pray for many of you here that I know by name when I pray for myself. And one thing I pray for us is that I bless us that we'll be doers of the word. I bless us that we'll be lovers of truth. I bless us that we'll deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow the Lord. It means ostentation, trying to impress others, boastful showiness. It means seeing things that are not there. A lot of times when people on drugs, they see things or they hear voices. Seeing is having strongly held but false beliefs, false notions, error, false or mistaken ideas, error, illusions, an erroneous perception of reality. It means a detachment from one's physical surroundings. It just means to be checked out. Emotionally unresponsive. Numbness. Deprived of the power to feel or move normally. Emotionally unresponsive. Indifferent. Lacking. It means lacking in sensitivity to the feelings and circumstances of others. Oh my goodness. That's been a big one in my life. I'm not proud of it. I'm asking God to give me the eyes of Jesus. I'm asking Him to give me the compassion of Jesus. I even asked precious Ava to pray for me. And she prayed the Lord would connect my eyes to my heart. Amen. I want to see the way Jesus sees. Whatever it costs, I want to be what the Lord wants me to be. Whatever it costs, whatever it takes. Because when I stand in eternity, I want God to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I can't imagine hearing if you stood before the Lord and He'd say, "You know, I wanted to do this with you and I wanted to do that for you, but you wouldn't yield your life to me." What a wasted life. God has a destiny, a plan. When He let your father's sperm conceive with your mother's egg, He had a plan for you for eternity. And it's not to live. He wants us to overcome. And that's why we go through circumstances, to overcome. And the promises of God are to the overcomer. And all of us have things to overcome. I'm overcoming, and I'm going to be overcoming till I leave this world. And I hope to be closer to Jesus on the day I go into heaven than I am today. Amen? And it's only as we're going to walk in repentance, confessing our sins. Don't let things pile up, because when you do, it's going to affect you physically. Don't hold anger in your heart. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Forgive, or you're turned over to the tormentors. And forgiveness is a choice. False or mistaken ideas. Emotionally unresponsive. Numbness. I've already read that. Unfeeling. Having no physical feeling or sensation. Not sharing in the pleasures or pains of others. It's just being callous. A hard heart. One of the roots to eye problems is not having a bountiful giving eye. And so, Lord, I want a bountiful eye. Give us a bountiful eye. Passionless, lacking strong emotions or feeling. That one certainly fit me. not romantic. That one fits me too. Not too sentimental at all. But I'm not that way anymore in Jesus' name. Apathetic, a feeling or showing a lack of interest or concern. Indifferent, feeling or showing little or no emotion. Unresponsive. Lacking in enthusiasm or excitement. Now, I used to think that the things I'm fixing to name now that were good qualities, but I saw that they weren't. It was almost like I could think I could be proud that I was even-handed, or unbigoted, or unbiased, unprejudiced, even-handed, just fair. All of these things. But do you know why you can be even-handed? Because you don't give a rip. Do you know why you can be unbigoted? Because it's due to being dispassionate or indifferent. Or why you can be unbiased? It's because you really don't care. Or if you could be unprejudiced, it's because you can be indifferent, even-handed, because you're indifferent, just. I mean, it's good to be even-handed, unbigoted, unbiased, unprejudiced, even-handed, just, fair. Those are good qualities. And you want to have those qualities. But if it's because you don't give a rip, it's not a good quality. You see what I'm saying? And those things did apply in my life. And I was kind of proud of it, that I was even-handed and all that. And pride has been my major sin. And I can tell you it's been your major sin, too. Because Satan's king over all the sons of pride. And I liked what Carla said in the last session about judging. You know what you're doing when you judge somebody else. God's trying to show you your sin. Right? We read last night in Romans 2. Who has King James Romans 2? Read that again, Carla. In the King James. I don't like the New American Standard Translation. That's sobering, isn't it? That we become like who we judge. God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on all of us. Okay, expressionless. I thank God that He's got that out of me. Devoid of emotion, blank mind, appearing or seeming to appear dazed or confused, devoid of thought or impression, not able to recognize or draw fine distinctions, not perceptive. You don't get it. Do you know people, or maybe are you one of these people, that something can be right under your nose and you don't get it? Or you can explain something. You especially see this when you're counseling. You can explain things to people and they don't get it. They absolutely don't get it. The man that I've been ministering to, he's getting some freedom, but he's been a compromiser, double-minded, half-stepper, hypocrite. And so because he lacks understanding, you know, I can say, well, what do you forgive your mother and father for? Well, they were wonderful people. But my mother doesn't believe in God. I mean, first he said they're Christian people, and then he told me later that because of the Holocaust, that his mother didn't believe in God. And what happened is when she was a little girl, her great-grandfather was the richest, second richest man in Czechoslovakia when Hitler took over and started sending people to concentration camps. And the great-grandfather, they were trying to put him on a train for a concentration camp with the men and trying to put his wife, the great-grandmother, on a concentration camp for women. And the great-grandfather said, I'm not going to be separated from my wife. And they shot the great-grandfather and the great-grandmother right there on the railroad tracks. Well, this girl, who is the mother of the guy that I'm ministering to, this girl's daddy took her and her sister, and they fled the country to get away from the concentration camps. And so because all of the Holocaust, this man's mother doesn't believe that if there was a God, he would allow such things. I read an email somebody sent me of Corrie Ten Boom when she was in those concentration camps during the Holocaust. And she said that there were people in that concentration camp that had been believers and were angry at God because at the end of the world, they were supposed to be raptured out of here and weren't. And if we don't obey God in these days, and I'm telling you, time is short, and spend the time you have getting your heart cleaned up, so you can be ready to go through whatever God has here. It says in, I believe in Jeremiah, that if you're falling down in a land of peace, what are you going to do in the thicket of the Jordan? The thicket of the Jordan is coming. We've been hearing that all weekend. The men that have taught on these end times know far more than I know about it. But I know that the time is short. And I don't know how anybody is going to make it if God don't have mercy on us. And so you can know what's coming and maybe one that's being martyred. But you know what encourages me? This man I'm ministering to, he's been set up. Somebody's after his money. And he's been set up and he thinks he's going to go to jail. But see, in his mind, this generational curse, that jail is like a concentration camp and he wants to run from it because it's pushing all of his generational buttons about the Holocaust. And I told him the other day, I said, you know, there's 800 concentration camps here in America. And I pray to God that none of us have to go into a concentration camp. They're empty, ready to go, and I don't even know who they're for. But, you know, you hear they're for Christians. But you know what encourages me? I live for God. I'm doing whatever I can to prepare for the end times. I am doing whatever I can do. I'm keeping myself spiritually right, trying to walk with God. I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to deal with all my stuff. And I told him, I said, you know what? The Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I pray to God I never have to go to a place like that. But if I do, it will comfort me to know that my steps are ordered. I've asked God not to let it happen. And if it happens, hey, I'm on a divine mission. And so our steps are ordered. And I said, and in going to jail, you know what? That isn't the end of the world. The jail is nothing like a concentration camp. Even though it's a bad place and they may use you as a mate, you might get raped in prison. But your steps are ordered. Get your life right with God, and He might divert it to where you don't even have to go to jail. So, also, stupor means unsociable, reserved, which means held in reserve, kept back or set aside, marked by self-restraint and reticence. Unsociable, not disposed to see the company of others, not congenial, incompatible, not conducive to social exchange. That certainly has fit my life. Maybe if I wasn't out ministering to people, but when I get home, I feel like I could stay there a year and never talk to anybody because the Lord is there. And of course, He's wherever you go. But see, that runs in my family. I mean, not wanting to spend time with the Lord, but just being unsociable. Withdrawn, emotionally unresponsive and detached, introverted, cut off, multiple personalities, emotionally uncommitted, disconnected, which means to shut off the current in an appliance by removing its connection. Aloof, God wants to reconnect us to Him, to His life. Aloof, distant, physically or emotionally reserved and remote, at a distance but within view. Lacking personality, now that certainly doesn't fit Carla Buttad, right? She's never seen a stranger in her life. I really haven't seen a stranger either, but she's what they call a sanguine personality, right? And that's good. That's good. But when you're a choleric sanguine, which I have been, you got a little bit of the both. They say a choleric, well, when he does the yard, he'll trim it so he don't have to do it again. He'll just cut it down to the nub. But they say that a sanguine person, when he goes out to cut the yard, they might find him 5 hours later down talking to the neighbor. And he never gets clipped. But, you know, I've heard all that sanguine stuff and melancholy and all that stuff, you know, that it's not even scriptural. So if I'm amiss, forgive me for even mentioning it. Okay, it means passive, receiving or subjected to an action without responding or initiating an action in return, accepting or submitting without objection or resistance, compliant, not participating, acting or operating inert, exhibiting no gain or contributing no energy, unsympathetic, hardened, to make hard or harder, hard-hearted, lacking in feeling or compassion, pitiless and cold, lacking compassion and pity, incapable of being penetrated or affected. That's kind of having a tough hide, isn't it? Incapable of physical sensation, lifeless, unresponsive to unaware of the feelings or needs of others, cold-hearted and devoid of sympathy or feeling, not affectionate or friendly, cold and devoid of sexual desire, unmindful, exhibiting no feelings or warmth. And let me say this, you can be a person that likes sex and still have this spirit. But it's one of the spirits of frigidity. And you don't have to have all these things. Stone-faced in very extreme cases. How many of you, and I know two people in my life that have been in my life for ministry, that are so stone-faced, they have absolutely zero, no more personality than that floor does. It's just like total, and you've known people like that. And it's because they've, you know, hardened their heart. It's devoid of kindness or sympathy, hard-hearted. The one girl that I mentioned is that she used to live in my farm, and she got so mad at a girl one day, she said, "I feel like cutting her cheeks off and frying them in a frying pan." Thank God she didn't. It means unmindful, exhibiting no feeling or warmth, stone-faced in very extreme cases. And I wasn't putting Carla down. I love her personality. I hope nobody took it that way. No, I meant it as a compliment. Calloused, having calluses, toughened, emotionally hardened, unfeeling, a callous indifference to the suffering of others, to form or develop hardened tissue. And that's one of the roots to cataracts, is that cataracts on the eyes is because we've hardened our heart. It says in Deuteronomy 32, it says, Jezreel, the people of God, grew fat and kicked, became callous. Their heart got so hard they couldn't feel. They produced from the flesh. Stagnant, not moving or flowing, motionless, foul or stale from standing, showing little or no sign of change, activity, or advancement, lacking vitality, indifferent to or unaffected by joy, grief, pleasure, or pain, which is stoic, which means believing that human beings should be free from passion and should calmly accept all occurrences as the unavoidable result of divine will or of the natural order. Not easily stirred or moved to feeling, unmoved, out of reach or unobtainable, dull, intellectually weak or obtrusive, stupid, lacking responsiveness or alertness, insensitive, dispirited, depressed, aroused, arousing no interest or curiosity, boring. Never mind, I'm not going to say it. Hey, I had a victory. Ha! preoccupied, absorbed in thought, engrossed, excessively concerned with something, distracted, lacking knowledge or awareness, not paying attention, heedless, unobservant, and can miss things right under their nose, oblivious, forgetful, fatigued, dazed, means to stun as with a heavy blow or shock, stupefy, a bewildering condition. Confusion, to cause to be unclear in mind or intent, to cause to be incapable to think with clarity or act with intelligence or understanding. You know, if you've been controlled for the last 30 years of your life, or most of your life, you've been totally controlled, it's like you get to where you don't know how to function. Example, I was married 27 years. My first husband gave me total freedom. I controlled him. My second husband controlled me, if you can believe that. He controlled me so much so he was such a perfectionist that if you moved a chair, he'd be down trying to get the carpet straight. And because I was like Edith Bunker, because what happens is he would always fuss at me, you left the freezer door open. I got to where I left the freezer door open all the time. Haven't done that since he died. But when you're controlled all the time, it's like you wait for somebody to tell you the next move. I'm a really good driver, but if I have somebody in the car with me, I make more mistakes because my daddy, every time he drove with me, turn here, turn there. No, don't park in that parking lot. Park over there. Well, Jerry, you're going to kill yourself. And no, that was right after I ran off the road and went in the ditch about 3 weeks before that. He said, Jerry, you're going to kill yourself. And I almost did. I went to sleep at the wheel on Interstate 30 with a cruise control on 70 miles an hour, and I was driving in the grass 70 miles an hour, and I thought about hitting the brake, but I didn't realize the cruise control was on because I thought if I hit the brake going this fast in the grass, it'll turn me over. So I just stayed in the grass, and finally I got back on the road, which was a miracle. But he was always, your every move, he was telling you what to do. And so when somebody's in the car with me, I think I identify with that. Hey, watch it, Jerry. You got a stop sign here. Wait a minute. But yeah, but I'm getting better in Jesus' name. And I break that curse off of me. Yes. Lord, thank you that I will not die, but I will live and proclaim the glory of the Lord. Oblivious, forgetful, fatigued. It means confusion, to make gloomy or trouble, feel like a fog, a daze, a mist or a haze is over your life. Dim means lacking in brightness, lacking sharpness or clarity of understanding or perception, lacking keenness or vigor. Weakness means to make weak or weaker. And then paralysis, loss of sensation over a region of the body, inability to move or function, total stoppage or severe impairment of activity, the condition of being powerless to act or affect, impotence, incapability, incompetence, ineffectiveness, powerless, helplessness. It means to be benumbed, which means to make numb, to deaden, to make less keen or responsive. Okay, the root causes is generational iniquities of the forefathers, of not being fruitful, of being idolatrous, because it says in Isaiah, give them ears that see this, speak to this people, give them ears that hear not, eyes that see not, and a heart that cannot understand, so they can turn and be healed. Unbelief, spiritual adultery, spiritual harlotry. A spiritual harlot is somebody that's prayed a prayer to make a covenant to Jesus to be the bride of Christ, and their heart goes after other lovers. They've committed spiritual adultery. Go to Isaiah 29, please. Verse 9. Be delayed and wait. Blind yourself and be blind. They become drunk, but not with wine. And we see this happening in churches all over America. They're encouraging to be drunk in the spirit, and they act just as drunk as if they had drank alcohol. They can't even stand up. Some of them, I've seen some of them so drunk that they were under the table. They couldn't even get up. And y'all have seen that if you've been in a lot of the charismatic churches. And it's not a blessing, but it's a curse. Yes, and Peter stood up and said, these men are not drunk. That is, the difference is that they were being filled with the Holy Spirit, and the same Pharisees that called Jesus an illegitimate was telling them that they were drunk. They weren't drunk. That's the only scripture that they use. If you get my little book on drunkenness over here on the table, I list every scripture in the Word of God on drunk, drunken, sober, alert. There's not one place, I even explain in the book Acts 2, there's not one place in that book that is endorsing spiritual drunkenness. It's actually a judgment from God for spiritual adultery. There's no repentance. There's no holiness. There's no Word of God. And whenever a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, there's self-control. Wherever the Holy Spirit is, there's self-control, and the Holy Spirit convicts of righteousness and judgment. Right? What is that scripture? I'm not quoting it correct. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. But don't take my word for it. That's why I used all the scriptures in the Bible on those subjects to show you there wasn't anything that would endorse spiritual drunkenness. So here it's talking in Isaiah about, it says, be delayed and wait, blind yourself and be blind. They became drunk, but not with wine. In other words, they weren't drunk from the liquor store alcohol. They stagger. And you see that staggering spirit. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord has poured over you a spirit of deep sleep, or a stupor. It says, does King James say stupor or slumber? Deep sleep. Okay. It says, the Lord has done it. He has shut your eyes, the prophets. And these prophets, I'm telling you, most of these prophets today, that's exactly what they're promoting. Are they promoting revival, but they're not promoting repentance. They're not promoting get your heart right with God. And they're servants of Satan. And like Howard said, they don't even know they're servants of Satan. And you can read a lot of things they do and say, and there'll be a lot of good stuff there. But just like Howard said, a little decon is good wheat or good rice, but with just a little dab of poison on it. And it says in Luke 7:40, you become like your teacher. After a man is fully trained, he becomes like his teacher. It says, He, God, has shut the eyes of the prophets, and He's covered your heads with the seers. And the entire vision will be to you like the words of a sealed book, which when they give it to the one who's literate, saying, please read this. That means the one with his education. He'll say, I can't read it. And then he'll say, I'll give it to the one who's illiterate, the one who has no education. And he'll say, I can't read it either. Verse 12, then the book will be given to the one who is illiterate, saying, please read this. And he shall say, I cannot read. Then the Lord said, because this people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of traditions learned by rote. Therefore, behold, I will deal marvelously again with this people, wondrously marvelous. And the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be concealed. And one of the signs of a person being off track is they lose their discernment. Ezekiel 14:14 says that when we have idols, we put before our faces the stumbling block of our iniquity. And of course, our idols today, we might not bow down to a Buddha or to a person. But our idols today is, you have to love me, you have to give me attention, you have to meet my needs, you have to protect me, you have to talk to me. Anything that pushes your button is rooted in idolatry. Anger is rooted in idolatry. In fact, all sin is idolatry. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is as idolatry. And so a person, when God pours out on them a spirit of drunkenness, a spirit of sleep that makes them drunk, or a spirit of stupor, it says in one translation, then they lose their discernment. They have no discernment. And you can read this in Nahum 3. I'm not going to read that. And then preachers not preaching the truth, go to Isaiah 56:10. It says, his watchmen are blind. All of them know nothing. All of them are dumb dogs, unable to bark. Dreamers lying down who love to slumber or stupor. And then Matthew 13:15, it says, for the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and I should turn and heal them. So you see, understanding is essential for me to get healed. I gain understanding through looking in the Word to see what's wrong with me. That's why the Proverbs says, give me understanding that I may live. And Proverbs says, forsake your folly and live and proceed in the way of understanding. We need understanding because it is the truth that sets us free. Not being a disciple. Matthew 13:16 says, but blessed are your eyes because they see, disciples, and blessed are your ears because they hear. Mark 8:18, having eyes, they see not, and having ears, they do not hear and do not remember. Luke 10:23, and turning to his disciples, he said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. In John 12:40, he was blinded. He has blinded their eyes, and he's hardened their heart, lest they should see with their eyes, perceive with their heart, and be converted, and I heal them. You see, because of idolatry, God hardens my heart. And then I'm given over to a spirit of stupor. Isaiah 6, the whole chapter of Isaiah 6 talks about being fruitful. And then this is when God told Isaiah, render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, their eyes dim, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. Acts 28:27, for the heart of this people has become dull, and their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and return, and I should heal them. Idolatry, Isaiah 44:18, they do not know, nor do they understand, for he has smeared over their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot comprehend. You know, in Revelation 3, God says, because you say that you're misery, that because you say you're rich and increased in goods, he said, and are poor, blind, and naked, he said, I advise for you to buy from me gold refined by fire and white raiment and eye salve that to anoint your eyes with. and that means to smear over your eyes. So that's just the opposite. How I do that is by letting go of my life, that I might find it. And when it says, buy from me gold refined by fire and white raiment, it means gold that's been buried in the ground, in the Greek, and I have to dig it out. And that's why sometimes when somebody prays for me and I'm not healed the first time, when they lay hands on me and they pray for me and I'm not healed, it's because I need understanding, which is the truth that sets me free. When I was diagnosed 4 years ago of having eye problems, it was right after my daddy died. I think it was 4 years ago. But I was repented up, prayed up. I could not tell you one thing that I had not confessed or repented of. And I wasn't mean and I was perfect, but I knew there was nothing I knew that I needed to repent of. And so when I started looking up the scriptures on blind, blinded, see, eyes, I saw so much sin in my life. I thought, dear God, no wonder I have an eye problem. You see, as I got in the Word and saw all of the sin in my life, I gained understanding about the eyes. And I still don't have all the understanding, but I know a lot about the eyes now, because this has been the hardest thing that I've ever gone through in my whole life physically. I've always been in good health, but to have something wrong with your eyes, oh my goodness. We need our eyes. And so I gained understanding, which is the truth that's been setting me free, because I'm still wearing the same glasses I wore 8 years ago. Something else I've done physically, he was talking about herbs and things last night. Physically, I've not had a Diet Coke since, which aspartame can cause brain tumors and blindness and all kinds of things. And I try to eat almost every salad dressing you buy today, almost every processed food you buy has got MS in it, which causes weight gain, causes all kinds of things. So I quit eating things with preservatives in it. I've been eating lots of fresh spinach and blueberries. I eat a cup of blueberries every day. And I've been eating carrots and carrot juice. That spinach is the best thing for the eyes. Carla had a man come in their optical company. Were you the one that told him about the spinach? And he was okay, but what was wrong with his eyes? He couldn't. Absolutely. In the darkness, see, of not. You know, blueberries are good for the eyes, and spinach is good for the eyes, and carrot juice and spinach juice. And you have to put it in the blender to make spinach juice, because it don't go through a juicer very good. But drinking those things, a couple of years ago, I could look over my phone, and if all the lights weren't on, I couldn't see the dials on my telephone. And I noticed it was real dim in the room the other day, and I could see the dials on the telephone, because I don't use my telephone. I've got my... My telephone is routed into my iPhone, so if anybody calls me on that number, it comes through to my iPhone. So it lights up, so I see it. But this phone over on the left side of my chair is a phone that I never use hardly. But I noticed the other day it was 50% better. I could read it, and I know. But eating, we have to spiritually do what we can do. We have to physically do what we can do, because our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And I know the scripture says that you can eat poison and it won't kill you, but it didn't say you wouldn't be blind or crippled. It doesn't say that. And so we need to do everything we can. Even getting exercise helps the circulation in your eyes. And one of the roots to glaucoma is pride. Psalm 73 says, pride is their necklace. The garment of violence covers them. Their eyes bulge out with fatness. And that means to swell out. And that's what, with glaucoma, it's pressure in the eyes. Macular degeneration, one of the roots to that is the eye that mocks the father and despises to obey the mother. The ravens of the valley will pluck out his eyes. He who curses his mother and father, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. Hey, my eye is the lamp of the body, right? Do word studies on lamps and find whatever your problem is, the answer is here in God's Word. And you can find it, and it will give you the, whenever you go looking, when I started looking for eye problems, when you go looking, you gain understanding, which is the truth that sets you free. And the Bible says in 3 John, I want above all that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So your health and prosperity will be in proportion to a prospering soul. And you don't get a prospering soul by watching TBN. In fact, those lying doctrines on TBN are actually make you worse. Then the good news, Isaiah 43:8-12, bring out the people who are blind, even though they have eyes, and deaf, even though they have ears. And then verse 12, it is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed, and there was no strange God among you, so you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, I am God. And then our sin has hidden his face from us to where he don't listen to us. If you regard iniquity in your heart, God won't hear your prayers. Iniquity is anything that displeases God according to the word of God. Anything you're holding on to. And then rebellion, Ezekiel 12:2, son of man, you live in the midst of the rebellious house who have eyes to see but do not see, ears to hear but do not hear, for they're a rebellious house. And then hardness of heart. Ephesians 4:18, being darkened in their understanding. See why I need understanding? Being darkened in our understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the hardness of heart. So stand up and ask the Lord to show you. If any of these things apply, I hope you've been repenting over them. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask for the truth that makes me free. Search my heart, O God, and show me if there's any unclean, any way in me that's displeasing to you, Lord. And then repent of your sin and then sit down. And Mindy, break this stuff off your children too while you're praying. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for idolatry. Forgive me for sitting under false teachers. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I renounce anybody that's laid hands on me and that's ever touched me whose hands were not holy. I renounce every demon, familiar spirit, sickness, addiction, perversion, and demon of any person that's ever touched me or laid hands on me. In the name of Jesus, I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. Now, every demon that came in through laying on of unholy hands, go now in the name of Jesus. I break your power in Jesus' name. I command the spirit, and Lord, forgive me for spiritual adultery. Adultery. And committing adultery against you, Jesus, my bridegroom. I ask you to forgive me for spiritual harlotry that would cause you to give me over to a spirit of drunkenness, a spirit of stupor, eyes that see not, ears that hear not, not being able to understand or comprehend, my food table to be a snare, and my back to be bent backwards in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I come against every demon that came in through the laying on of unholy hands, through spiritual adultery, through physical adultery. I command the spirit of drunkenness to leave. I command the spirit of stupor to leave in Jesus' name. I break, and Lord, I forgive my forefathers for everything I've confessed. And Lord, I ask you to start with Adam and Eve. Everybody pray and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through spiritual adultery, physical drunkenness, spiritual adultery, adultery, fornication, through a spirit of stupor, and through idolatry. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses in the name of Jesus, and I cast out the spirit of drunkenness. I cast out in the name of Jesus the spirit of stupor, spirit of slumber. I command you to go. Every spirit has to go. Cough it out, believe it out. In Jesus' name, I break your power. In the mighty name of Jesus, all stupor has to leave. All back problems have to go. All food table is a snare has to go. In the name of Jesus, all spirits of gluttony, overweight, weight gain, self-indulgence, overindulgence, eating to through loneliness has to go. Bulimia, come out in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of drowsiness and sleepiness, go. Slumbering spirits, go. I say, wake up, sleeper, and arise from the dead that Christ may shine upon you. Prickling all spirits of numbness all over their body, arms, legs, private parts, spirits of frigidity, unable to respond sexually, being oversexed, go in Jesus' name. I break the power of lethargy. I break the power of no energy, indolence, slothfulness, sluggishness, inactivity, go in Jesus' name. I break your power, drowsiness, sleepiness, torpid spirits, all spirits of not being alert in Jesus' name, all spirits of spiritual and physical blindness, spiritual and physical healing, has to hearing problems have to go. In the name of Jesus, all spirits that cause us to be dazed and disconnected, Father, forgive me for checking out emotionally to control with controlling people. Lord, forgive me for going someplace else. Now, Lord, I ask you to reconnect me to the vine. Reconnect me to you. Reconnect me with reality in the name of Jesus. I come against, in the name of Jesus, all spirits of deafness, spiritual deafness, all spirits of dazed and stunned, I command you to go. Bewilderment, go. Perplexed, puzzled, distracted, leave. Disoriented, disorganized, come out now in Jesus' name. All spirits of apathy, coma, all spirits that came in when we went under anesthetic has to go in Jesus' name. All spirits of muscular rigidity, physical and psychological disorders, epilepsy, schizophrenia have to go. All spirits of zombie spirits, heightened suggestibility, hallucinations, mental disorder, mental illness, come out. Mental illness that came in through having sex with mental ill people. All spirits that came in through generational mental illness in the name of Jesus. All spirits of visions of grandeur, daydreams, fantasy, imagination, masturbation, imaginations, flight of fantasy, make believe. All spirits of inability to comprehend, understand, and retain. All spirits that keep us from the Word of God, all spirits of pretense, play acting, disguising, ostentation, all spirits of hallucination, seeing things that are not there, all spirits of hearing voices, go in Jesus' name, all spirits of false notions, error, mistaken ideas, illusions, deception, lies, lying, has to go in the name of Jesus. We break the power of being emotionally unresponsive, numbness, stoicism, all spirits that would keep us from being sensitive to the feelings and circumstances of others, unfeeling, passionless, not romantic, not sentimental. I command you to go in Jesus' name, all spirits of apathy, all spirits of just not caring, just being indifferent and dispassionate has to go in Jesus' name. All spirits of being expressionless, devoid of emotion, blank mind has to go in the name of Jesus. Appearing or seeming to be dazed or confused, confusion have to go. Confounding has to go. Being unable to be analytical, all spirits that have caused them to lose their discernment and lose their understanding. Give us understanding, O God, that we may live live. Lord, we forsake our folly and live, and we proceed in the way of understanding. All spirits that would keep us from being able to discern light and darkness, the holy and the profane, all spirits that hinder our perception, all spirits that keep us from having being effervescent and sparkling, all spirits of dimness, darkness, lacking flavor, has to go, motionless, indifferent, detached, distant, alienated, isolated, reserved, unsociable, withdrawn, introverted, cut off, multiple personalities, and emotionally uncommitted. Go in Jesus' name. We break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. All spirits that have disconnected them, made them aloof, caused them to lack personality, be passive, unsympathetic, has to go. All spirits of hardness of heart. Father, I want to break up the fallow ground. I want, in the name of Jesus, that you make my ground like that good sandy loam that'll grow so that the seed will produce 30, 60, and 100 fold. Forgive me for having a hard heart. Forgive me for vowing you're not going to hurt me anymore. So, you know, if somebody hurts you, you cope sometimes by vowing I'm not going to feel anymore. You're not going to hurt me. I won't be hurt anymore. And you build walls around your heart. So, Lord, forgive me for doing that. In the name of Jesus, God, forgive me for not having a bountiful eye and eyes of pity and compassion. Forgive me for being impenetrable, unaffected, and incapable of physical sensation. Lifeness has to go. All spirits of cold-hearted, devoid of sympathy, no affection, unfriendly, cold, devoid of sexual desire, unmindful, exhibiting no feeling or warmth, stone-faced, in extreme cases, stony-hearted, unreceptive, all spirits of callousness and glaucoma, leave their eyes. All spirits of pride, leave in the name of Jesus. I take off that necklace of pride in Jesus' name, and I break the power of the demons of pressure in the eyes that would cause the eyes to bulge out with fatness. And Lord, forgive me for having eyes full of adultery, idolatry in my eyes that would cause my whole body to be full of darkness in the name of Jesus. Lord, forgive me for not seeking you for myself, wanting some human being to be my comfort, Lord, when you are my comfort. I command every spirit of callousness, cataracts, leave our eyes. I cut the cataracts off our eyes. All spirits of a stagnant spirit. All spirits that hinder our vitality. All spirits that cause us to be unmoved and out of reach. All spirits of dullness, preoccupied, lacking knowledge or awareness. Get out. All spirits of that have hindered our mind. All mind-binding spirits have to go. All doctrines of demons coming in through being programmed. All demonic programs has to go in Jesus' name. All spirits that cause us to miss it, miss out, not get it, be oblivious. All spirits of forgetfulness, fatigue, daze, confusion, gloomy, troubled. In Jesus' name, I command the fog, the haze, and the mist off their lives. In the name of Jesus, I command weakness to go, paralysis, all spirits that have made them be benumbed. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, forgive me for unbelief. Forgive me for spiritual harlotry, idolatry. God, forgive me for sitting under preachers that don't preach the Word of God. And Lord, forgive me for sitting under false teachers. And I thank you that you're going to redeem your sheep no matter what we're messed up in. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in some people's lives in this camp to get them out of cults. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that if we have a heart after you, you know that, and you're going to eject us from this whirlpool of slime that's out there. And Lord, forgive me for living a fruitless life, not producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Lord, that you're the one that opens blind eyes. And you said, blessed are your eyes, disciples, because you see. Blessed are your ears, disciples, because you hear. In the name of Jesus, I command every demon power to leave. All rebellion, all hardness of heart has to go in the name of Jesus. All antichrist spirits, you have to leave in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, all spirits of blindness, deafness, back problems, you have to go in Jesus' name. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I bless our aura serratas, our conjunctivas. I'm going to bless your eye parts. I bless our conjunctivas, our aura serratas, our pupils, our corneas, our lenses, our corneas, our irises. I bless our interior and posterior chambers, our aquuses, our viscuses. I bless our biliary bodies. I bless our maculas, our retinas. In the name of Jesus, I bless our choroids, our scleras, our central retinal arteries and veins, and I bless our optic nerves, and I bless the eyes of every person in here with 20/20 vision. I bless our eyes to see clearly. I bless the muscles in our eyes to be able to focus. I break the power of the demons that would cause things to run together. I command the spirit of darkness to go. I command macular generation, get out. I command floaters that came in through judging, leave in the name of Jesus. I command spiritual blindness to go in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I command cataracts to melt. Lord, you said that if we turn to you and humble ourselves, that the veil will be removed from our eyes in Jesus' name. Now, I want you to get a partner, and I want you to jerk them out of the spirit of stupor. Yes, just jerk them out. I take you out of the spirit of stupor. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.